Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. Today's episode is with Mitch. Now, Mitch is a published author. He lives in New York and he has had decades in the recovery sector. He talks about the gift of sobriety, and actually he shares some fantastic advice about sober socializing and so many little gems in the main episode as he covers the topics of family, relationships, and something called having smart feet.
When I was drinking, I couldn't show up for a job. I remember I got fired from a couple jobs. I showed up like one day and left. So I was not able to be a worker among workers. I was not able to show up for a job. The drinking interrupted that. Like I said, I attribute all my success in my career as a result of sobriety. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two is family. You know, who I am today, I mean, may he rest in peace. We just lost my grandfather.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And I was able to show up for my family for weeks, for my grandfather when he was, and his, you know, at the end of his life. And his name is Coleman. And I remember him and I still pray for him. Who I was like so reliable, helpful, supportive. These are things that I wasn't when I was drinking. I remember I wouldn't show up for my family. I would tell them, I would lie to them. I would steal from them. I was a miserable person. And then today I'm able to show up for my family, like I said. So being a person in my family is huge.
Yeah.
And that's a gift. And that is something that is directly beneficial for my sobriety. And then the last thing, to be honest, like, and I think it's important to talk about who I am in romantic relationships, is just an amazing person. I was unable to be in a relationship with a woman when I was drinking. Today, I have a girlfriend. I show up today. I'm faithful. I'm loyal. I plan fun events sober. Do us fun dates. There's so many things we can do that don't involve drinking. You know, concerts, magic shows, dinners, travel, going places together. Like, that's me. That's Mitch as a sober boyfriend. When I was drinking, I remember I would use women. I would like date them and then say, oh, maybe I should ask her for money to support my drinking habit. It was cheated. I wasn't loyal. So like, who I am today, it's like night and day in romantic relationships. Like, sober Mitch is an excellent boyfriend, but Mitch that was drinking was a, like, a jerk. So yeah. Those three things I want to say, like, my career success, my family, and my romantic relationships are definitely the biggest positive changes I see in sobriety.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And your girlfriend, does she drink alcohol?
She does, yeah.
You say you're quite used to being around it.
It takes time to kind of, it doesn't happen overnight that I'm like, oh, I developed that skill of being around. It's a skill, I think, of being around people that are drinking and being comfortable of what I'm doing. It takes time. But it was told to me pretty quickly, and this is a valuable lesson, that I can't hide or escape alcohol.
No, it's everywhere.
Everywhere. You know, in some sober literature, they use the example, if you're an Eskimo in Alaska, in an igloo, in the middle of nowhere, someone may walk by you and offer you some whiskey. You know what I mean? It's everywhere. You can't hide. So if you can't, if you know this, you know, I started developing skills when to be comfortable with what I'm doing around people that are drinking. And yeah, that is quick tip. Always have a non-alcoholic drink in your head, ready to go wherever you are. The two best things, a seltzer or a diet soda.
Yeah.
And always, like, so I always have one of those in your hand, and then I feel comfortable wherever I am.
So you
And
almost
then,
prepare before you walk in. You sort of kind of go, right, well, this is what I'm going to drink.
exactly. And then I say to myself, especially in the beginning, maybe I shouldn't be here for that long. Let's say you're going to, like, your mother's birthday is at some bar or some place where they have alcohol. Maybe say, look, I'm not at a position where I can be here for 5 hours, but maybe I show up early and maybe I leave early. I'm going to have everyone know in advance that I have to leave early because of something else. And that's how you get through things like this until you're able to be there the whole time. So you prepare in advance to be around alcohol, and eventually it becomes second nature that I can be out to dinner with my girlfriend and she has wine and I have a seltzer and it's a wonderful dinner.
And how do you feel then about this is the other question I've got is how do you feel around people that are getting drunk? Not just a glass of wine with dinner, but they're on a mission to get drunk. Because I personally, I don't judge them. I have no judgment, but I don't find it that fun. And I kind of excuse myself at that point.
Absolutely. And I do something similar, but then it's like eventually after being around, so after seeing that time and time again, you realize that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I use this example. You're out on a Saturday night. Those people that get drunk, they stay out. I go home as a sober man, go to sleep early, and then wake up early on a Sunday. And I usually, like this morning, I exercised and I'm able to wake up sober. I'll exercise. I listen to a podcast, read a book. So I'm doing all these things that these people that were drinking are still sleeping the next day, or wake up hungover, unable to do anything on a Sunday. And I'll do 10 things by the time they wake up. So I eventually have the last laugh, so to speak. It just makes it like when I see a drunk person, I say, okay, I'm not going to be here anymore because I'm going to go home to be a successful, sober person. And
Yeah.
every time now I say that to myself, and then it just happens.
It's like
So,
that
yeah.
direct comparison, isn't it? You can literally look and think, do you know what? I'm going to make a different choice because, you know, we've been there, haven't we? We've been there until the end of the night and we know how that ends. And so actually going home early night, cup of tea, cup of coffee, whatever, maybe not coffee just before bed, but then wake up early in the morning and kind of work out or, you know, spend time with your girlfriend.
Exactly.
That's a gift.
A absolute gift. And I can play the tape forward in the moment, and that
Yeah.
takes a lot of practice.
But that's a great saying, and it's I've heard that saying so many times, play the tape forward. But it's such a simple technique that works. Think about like the getting to bed, the putting the I for me, it's taking my makeup off. Just those little things. If you can just play the tape forward as to how it would be one way and would be the other way. And listen to the positive one. What are the tips do you have for somebody in early sobriety? So they're sort of maybe they're a grey area drinker, they're around it all the time, they can't escape it. What tips would you have? Would you say avoid things or?
I mean, okay, well, the first major tip that someone that is in that gray area is, and I said this before and I'll say it again, it is never too early to ask for help. Nowadays, I would say the two biggest pieces of advice I would give someone who wants to maybe think about being sober is number one, therapy. We have so many resources today where you can do therapy online. You don't even have to go in person. You can just have a Zoom call with someone and just to talk it out what you're going through. Just maybe have one session,
Yeah.
talk it out. So that's number one. And then two, I also would tell people they have. Try an open 12-step meeting. And again, I'll make it as easy as possible. You can go on Zoom to a 12-step meeting, open, turn your video off, and just listen and see. And maybe you can identify with some things. Maybe it's not for you. If you think you have a problem, check those two things out. In terms of like situations, the number one thing is making a plan. Before you do anything, make a plan. And like I said, I gave the example of your mother's birthday. The plan will consist of timing and logistics, like when I'm showing up, when I'm leaving, do I even go? Maybe I make up an excuse this time until I can be around in this setting and be able to be sober. And then plan what you're going to drink. Go in saying, I'm going to have a seltzer and I'm going to hold it Maybe I'll put a lime in it and two plastic straws so it looks a little fancy. And I will promise you, no one cares what you are drinking. And if someone cares, and maybe that person is not your friend, maybe they're just like purposely going out of their way to ask you why you're not drinking alcohol. Because when you drink a glass of water or a seltzer, you're drinking, all right? You're just not drinking alcohol. And then I have like a little tease thing that I tell people, okay, yeah, I drink all the time. I just don't drink alcohol. So those tips, if you're going to an event type of thing, really have worked for me. But you have to be comfortable doing stuff like leaving early from a thing or making an excuse not to go. And I feel comfortable doing that because I realize that my sobriety is, again, the smart feet is the most important thing in my life. I play the tape forward. The things that drugs and alcohol do to me are like not good. So if this birthday party or event with clients after work will lead me down the path of going back to treatment, it makes a bigger deal out of it than it is. And then you're able to understand that, yes, maybe I should leave early. Maybe I shouldn't go to this and make up and plan something else for that time because it's important that I stay sober. And if this thing can risk my sobriety, it's definitely not good for me.
And that's so important. And people do say that, don't they? Oh, I'm worried. I don't want to offend anybody, or I'm concerned that I might let somebody down if I don't turn up to something. But you have to place your sobriety, particularly in the early days, right at the top of
Yes.
the list. I mean, I didn't socialize for the first month or two. I didn't want to do anything, didn't want to go anywhere. We went on holiday the one time, and we went for one overnight. And actually, we went and stayed in this place. And I said to my husband, I don't even want to walk into the town. And this was about 6 weeks into sobriety. But I
Yeah.
was prepared to go away and get my head used to that. But I didn't want to go and walk past pubs or bars in the nearby
Exactly.
town. And we actually then did a little walk around the town on the Sunday morning when everything was shut. And I still felt weird walking past when the pubs were shut. Now it doesn't bother me. You've got to get used to that. You've got to give yourself a chance, haven't you?
Yeah, and I would break it down into looking out for three categories. We say people, places, and things. Are there people that I should or shouldn't be around? And I say it like that because maybe there's really positive people in your life. Maybe you have that friend that goes to the gym 3 or 4 times a week. Like you want to be with that person, right? Because that's a healthy thing. Or maybe you shouldn't be around that one aunt that gets drunk every time you're around her at, a thing. So maybe for the time, so people you watch out for, places, you just mentioned, you avoid or go to certain places, right? Avoid places when there's heavy drinking in the beginning, especially. But go to places where there's a positive atmosphere. I mean, bookstores, clubs, gyms, anything related to health and fitness are positive places. Family members that make you feel good, that are supportive. The last is people, places, and things. And that's a personal thing. So I can't really give examples. It's personal to every single thing. But if you know there's a thing, a situation that is triggering to you that can affect your sobriety, you may have to avoid it or limit it, especially in the beginning, until you could learn how to be around that thing or situation and have success being sober. So people, places, and things.
And also looking out for those things that then are good for you. You kind of feel
Yes.
that they're, it might be new to you, but you go, actually, this thing is something that really ignites me that I hadn't noticed before.
Exactly. And it's something that we need to talk more about. I mean, I don't want anyone to feel when they become sober that they're restricted. If anything, they're gaining more.
No, we're
I mean,
talking very
like,
much, aren't we, about like those early days, early coping scenarios, rather than
yes.
long-term sobriety is, and whatever that class is, whatever your definition is, but longer-term sobriety is nothing like early sobriety at all. It
Yes.
opens so many doors.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you don't even know what things you're going to be interested in until you, for me, early sobriety, I was able to go to school. I was able to go to work at a job, and I met people, and I was I didn't even go skiing as something that I would just, I fell in love with it because I met some sober people and they were going skiing and I just was able to show up and go. And now I like, now I'm a skier. So you don't even know. My life turned around, flipped upside down, 180. It was just a different person.
Yeah.
And I get opportunities today in sobriety that are just beyond my wildest dreams because I don't even know how amazing it can be, you
And you
know?
don't know what's to come either, do you? It's like I feel I'm a year sober now, just over a year. And so in this year, I cannot believe the things that have changed for me. And I was your gray area drinker. I was somebody whose life was still held together. And nobody would have known I had any issues. I wasn't day drinking. I wasn't getting drunk. I wasn't hungover. I was still running two businesses, still running a family. Everything was sort of on the surface level fine. And my life has changed this much. I can't believe
Yeah.
how much alcohol was impacting me when I thought I had a handle on it.
Yeah. It's a beautiful life we live today.
It really is. I think it's a gift. I really do.
Yeah. Like I said, a superpower.
If you'd like to listen to the main episode, then head back on your podcast timeline to the 6th of February 24. If you'd like to find out more about working with me, then head to my website, louisaevans.com. I don't just support with sobriety, I also help with many other areas, including anxiety, overthinking, and low mood. On the website, you'll find lots of resources, including my online sober resilience course. And if you use the code RESILIENCE544 as a Sober Rebel listener, you'll get a 30% discount. And also a range of hypnosis recordings. Use code SOBERREBEL, all one word, to buy one, get one free. Self-hypnosis is a very powerful and effective way to begin to reprogram how we automatically think about things. You'll find a range of different topics on my website. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests on the Sober Rebel podcast for sharing their story and for taking the time to talk to me. The Sober Rebel podcast will be back very soon. I'm just currently recording some fantastic episodes to share with you. I hope you have a good day.